Hi, folks. Vossie here. Hope you're having a great weekend. This is a special Saturday edition of Breakfast with Vossie with some of the best bits from our weekday show. And on today's weekend edition, we're having our end-of-season NRL reviews with celebrity supporters. You'll hear from Sharks tragic, the actor, Brendan Cowell, and a Roosters man through and through, cock-a-doodle-doo, Tim Webster. Billy Slater talking about his loves of horse racing and a little bit of rugby league. We'll talk cricket. We've got the T20 World Cup cricket underway, the Ashes just around the corner from Fox Cricket, Brett Lee on the program. But let's kick things off with a key signing for the West Tigers in the NRL next year. He's a fascinating story. Finished his time in the NRL, went off to the Super League, became a star there, and now he's headed back to the NRL. I speak of Jackson Hastings. Now, excited to say that I'm catching up with a man that I hope absolutely kills it for the West Tigers next year. He has been quite a story, the way he reinvented his career over in the Super League. He made his debut with the Roosters in the NRL. He was part of the Dragons fold as a junior. He had time at Manly and then went over to the Super League, winning the Man of Steel, became an international, loved by fans at Salford and then at Wigan. And now he returns a different man, ready to play in the NRL again. I'm speaking of Jackson Hastings. He's in quarantine. He's only arrived in the country in the last 48 hours. I don't know whether the body clock has returned to normal. Is he jet lagged? Has he been waiting for this call for the last 8 hours? Jackson, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie.
Hey, Vossie, thanks for having me, mate. I've been up since 1 o'clock, so whatever, however long that is, I've been waiting. But it's good to hear from you, mate, and I appreciate the intro.
Now, listen, I've spoken to a lot of athletes over the last 12 months in quarantine. You find just, look, if you had to come in 2 weeks' time, it would have been all clear. Because what, you're fully vaccinated, negative test, but you got to do the 14 days.
Yeah, the rules sort of changed the day I was getting on the plane. So I only found out on Twitter that if I'd waited another 2 weeks, I wouldn't have to do it. But the main priority was just to get back, obviously, to start training with the boys on our start date in November and just being there from the start too. So I've been through it once before. This time last year, I done it and got through it, and I got to go through it again. But it is what it is. It's part of the job, part of the rules, and we'll get through the 14 days and then rip into pre-season.
Good attitude. Now, I've seen a post that you put out this morning. So, essentially, there's just the four walls. There's a window that doesn't open. And at the foot of your bed is a bike. It's almost like it's Tom Hanks with the volleyball. I mean, have you given the bike a name yet?
We won't be friends in a couple of days, trust me, but the Tigers were good enough to drop off like a barbell, some dumbbells, the Watt bike, some bands and stuff like that to keep me going. I'm quite lucky. The room I'm in, they've done the best they could. Obviously, the windows don't open and there's no balcony, which I would love, but they've given me the biggest room they could at the hotel, so I'm pretty grateful for that. I'm not going to lie, that's been a struggle mentally the first couple of days, but as I sort of wrote on that post that you would have read, there's a lot of people that aren't able to come home for Christmas or things like that too. So just trying to look at it in the most positive view I can and get through it the best I can.
All right, Jackson, for Tigers fans listening, and look, I sit in this chair 5 days a week. You know, if I was to break down it, when you talk about rugby league fans, probably Tigers' input's right up there. There's been so much said. They are looking for hope. They're looking for good news, and they're excited by your signing. The player that returns to the NRL now, how is Jackson Hastings different to the young bloke that left a few years back?
Just the main thing is I'm a way better person, first and foremost, someone that you'd probably want to have in your club, someone that's learnt to lead by example, first one to train and last one to leave, that sort of mentality. And then on the field, I can finally say I've turned into a leader. Obviously, as an 18-year-old kid, you're not naturally going to be a leader. Throughout the juniors and stuff, I was always that, and the story always got written that I was a bit ahead of myself and things like that, and majority of that was right, and I put myself in uncompromising positions, and I've only got myself to blame. I don't necessarily agree with everything that happened, but at the end of the day, if I didn't put myself in those positions, I wouldn't have had to go through what I went through, so I take ownership of that. But just someone that's matured, someone that loves the game, someone that's going to turn up and bust my backside every week and hopefully you know, drag people along with me. You know, it's not a one-man game, as you know, Vossie. It's a 30-man squad effort, but hopefully I can bring something different to what's not already there or just add to what they're trying to build there. I've had a few conversations with Madge, and it really excites me how passionate he is and the direction he wants the club to go. And I'm just going to try and fit into what the boys have already started there, build on the foundations, and then hopefully once I've set it, I can add my little bit to it.
Well, I had the pleasure of calling you as a schoolboy. I mean, everyone saw you, and you've mentioned, you know, as a young bloke in the junior reps, and the talent was there for all to see. Based on what that, and a lot of people have a negative opinion of the Super League, like they say, oh, that's where you go to, you know, get your superannuation finish. No, you've rebuilt your career. You've become a better player for your experience there. But I sort of gather by what you've just said there, the best is still to come.
Yeah, well, I think so. My knowledge of the game has grown whilst being over in the Super League. I've been coached by two tremendous coaches. I've played at two clubs on different ends of the spectrum. Obviously, I went to Salford where they were on the verge of getting relegated into the league below them. And then under 12 months later, we walked out at Old Trafford and played against arguably the best Super League side in the last sort of 20-odd years. And then the next year, I won the minor premiership with Wigan, and we were a crossbar away from winning the grand final too. But, I mean, my whole round game's developed. I think as a junior, I was a great runner with the footy and took the line on and played what I saw. And then playing with such talented athletes and players in that Rooster side, I become a bit stagnant and just a pass-happy sort of person and allowed others to just do everything. And I sort of just fell out of the team there and not really having an input. And I just went over to Super League and wanted to get back to what I'd done well as a kid and what gave me the success growing up too. So just I've got that love for the game back. Well, no, I didn't lose it. I've just got that real extreme love for the game and that willingness to be the best I can. You know, I watch people run around the NRL and there's so many fantastic players, and to be able to come back and compete against them again, yeah, it gives me chills. It's been a long time. It feels like I've been away for such a long period of time too. So to be able to come back and just compete again is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Jackson Hastings, my special guest here on 1170 SEN. Do you have a position that you most want to play? If you could say, give me that number, what would it be? Is it seven? Is it six?
Honestly, when I say this, I know a lot of people would say this to be saying the right thing and to sound like a good team guy. I don't really care. I see myself in the halves. Obviously, I've played the majority of my career there. I feel probably most comfortable there, but I've said this to Madge as well before I signed. I'm not going there to take anyone's spot or to be the saviour or anything like that. I'm going there to fit into what's already put in place and try and add to that. Whether that's a halfback, that'd be great. Hooker, off the bench, 13. It honestly doesn't worry me. I've got a completely different attitude and outlook on the game, and I'm just really grateful to be given this opportunity by the Tigers to come back and play footy, and hopefully I can repay them in whatever position Madge plays me. But if you're going to ask me what position I'd prefer, it'd be halfback or 5'8", but they've got two pretty handy players there at the moment too. So just fitting into the side, and it'll work itself out come pre-season time.
All right, a couple more. This will make you feel good in quarantine. You've been up since 1 o'clock. Tim on the text. How good's this? Hi, Jackson. As an Aussie who believes in a fair go, I'm not sure you've always received one in the past. Just wanted to wish you well at the Tigers. I'm not a fan of the club, but I'm cheering for you. That's a great message from Tim, one of our listeners. And on the text also, Jimmy listening here, he says, ask Jackson, how good are the fans in the UK Super League? I mean, they've played their part in the rebuilding of you. Salford absolutely loved you. And what I did know, you would give away tickets every week to games to fans. And, mate, you were an absolute hero there.
Well, first of all, the text, I think, shows how far I've come, mate. Obviously, you've been in the game long enough, and to get a text like that 4 years ago would have been unheard of for me. So, firstly, I really appreciate that. But, yeah, you know, from the moment I got off the plane, the people just took to me. I think they understood that I just needed someone to put their arm around me. That's literally all I was asking for. I'm like a lot of other young kids that battle through stuff, fight demons, and whatever it is. I just needed someone to put their arm around me, and Salford did that. And obviously had no family or friends at the time over in the UK, so the right thing to do was give away tickets, give away my jersey every week, my boots. I'd turn up at kids' houses and play PlayStation with them, do everything I could in the community to be loved, really. I just wanted to be accepted for who I am, and it was authentic. I didn't do it for people to write messages like that. I did it because I like seeing smiles on people's faces, and you know, I did a lot of stuff like that in the NRL, but it got overshadowed by me making poor, immature decisions. So my whole thing is just giving back to the community. The game's given me so much, and Salford really took to me, and there's been some quality videos and photos and messages made. I honestly can't repay the people of that community enough. They helped save my career, definitely, and the same goes for Wigan. They were the exact same with me. It's amazing the amount of responses I've got since being over there, and just so grateful I went over there and got the chance to do what I do.
Well, great stuff. Very impressive this morning. Jackson, we wish you all the best. First of all, getting through the quarantine. Get onto that bike. You'll be probably good enough to get in the Tour de France by the end of the quarantine session. Watch a lot of movies. We'll get you back for a movie review in a couple of weeks. And from the Tigers fans and all rugby league fans, we look forward to seeing you back in the NRL.
Nah, appreciate it, Vossie. Thanks for having me on, mate. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, Jackson Hastings, there you go. Fresh off the plane, in quarantine, and very impressive. That is a changed man right there. He's going to be an asset to the Tigers and the NRL.
You're listening to the best of Vossie.
Well, that's the intro music, and it's Wolf Mother blaring across, and Brendan Cowell comes out in full dressing gown of the Cronulla Sharks with hood overhead. He means business, because right now we continue our series of looking back on the seasons of the NRL teams with celebrity supporters, and there's no bigger Sharks fan than Brendan, even as big as the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, who's been on the program before. Brendan is definitely part of the SEN family, always good value when he's on in drive. Brendan, we've got you up early. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossie.
G'day, Vossie, mate. Great to be here. Now, I was up at 6 a.m. doing the stats for next year and running through my team sheets, mate, for the Sharks. So it's great. It's a great time to chat. How are you?
I'm very well. Let's get straight to the crunch. Cronulla's season 2021, 10 wins, 14 losses, coming off a season where you'd previously made the finals. Change of coach, score it out of 10, Brendan. Out of 10.
Yeah, it was a limp handshake of a season. It was just utterly kind of mild, nearly there. It was reminiscent of the West Tigers. We did come ninth, so I'd say 4 out of 10, really. We showed potential early in the year, but we just didn't seem to have it in the middle defensively. And then I think when John Morris was moved on, everything started to kind of, the ominous signs came about. And even though we galvanised a bit with Josh Hannay later in the season, I kind of knew once you get beaten by the Broncos and the Bulldogs, it was never really going to happen.
Okay, there we go. Very honest summation. Now, before I go any further, just to stamp your credentials, your bona fides, as to giving this assessment of the Cronulla Sharks, what is the background? Why the love for the Sharks, Brendan? Where did that start? Was it a family tie? What happened?
Well, yeah, I was born and raised in Cronulla. Shark Park is the home, and that's the mecca. And I started playing for PLSL Caringbah when I was 4. Andrew Eddinghausen coached me in reps when I was 12. Your sister starts dating one of the footy players, you know what I mean? And it was like everything lined up for me to play for the Sharks. I just lacked a little bit of toughness and talent, really. And that's the only thing that held me back. But, I just always loved them. And even when I've moved away to New York or London in the last 6 years, I've ended up watching more Sharks because you get up in the morning and the footy's on. So it's just in my blood. They're just my team. And I love them and I believe in them. And 2016 was probably the greatest year of my life.
Yes, that's right. Beautifully put. That is a beautiful story. One premiership win in 54 years, but it's one of the greatest years of your life. Well said. Now you've definitely, your papers have been stamped. Yep, he's a Sharks nut. Let's go over most improved player or player that really caught your eye this season at Cronulla.
Yeah, well, I thought with the kind of injury mix-ups that we had with, Sean Johnson, he's a wonderful kind of highlights reel player, but he only plays 1 in 4 games. And when he does play 4 games, he only plays 1 in 4 of them, Right. So it's, I think we had a lot of halves mix-ups, and I thought Braden Trindle looked really lost. And then with Josh Hannay, 3 or 4 games at halves, I thought he was absolutely superb by the end of the season. And I'm really, really, really excited about what he might do with Nico Hines. He was so tough in the halves, which I think is really important these days. And he's got a great pass, great kicking game. So I loved watching Braden Trindle. He's kind of become my new favourite player. I think there's also, I thought, Teague Wilton in defence, which I thought we just had holes in us in the middle of the field. And I think Teague Wilton, I think he's a nephew of John Morris, actually. He was really, really gritty and tough. And I think with Fanu Kane on guitar next year, that bears well, you know, that bodes well for us in terms of a strong wall.
Brendan Cowell is doing the assessment here on the Cronulla Sharks season 2021. List your, well, just one, your best moment of 2021 from a Sharks perspective. Maybe been a game, maybe been a try, maybe been a tackle. Best moment.
My best moment of last year, I mean, maybe my best and worst. My best was I took my nephew and my mum to, you know, our proud home ground, NetStar Jubilee or whatever it's called, and it was just wonderful to see us beat the Panthers, you know, in front of 4,000 obsessed fans, and just to know that I guess that means we won the comp, in a lot of ways because we smashed the premiers. I know they didn't have any of their players on the field, but that was a highlight. I remember being at the SCG and thinking, I think we're 18-6 up at half time. I thought, yeah, we're going to beat the Roosters. And then that young halfback came on field, and I thought, this kid looks like he's just got back from school each week, and he tore us up on the left side of the field, and that really was curtains for the rest of the season. I think we lost 7 in a row after that. But yeah, beating the Panthers was joyous. I was jumping around the place.
Yeah, and does that mean that night losing to the Roosters, like when you had it won, you clutched defeat from the jaws of victory with the schoolies kid, Sam Walker? Would that be the worst moment of 2021? Because it's a game you thought you had won, or were there others? Or was there one? Big one.
Oh, look, I think losing to the Bulldogs was terrifying. Because, I mean, I think the Bulldogs are great players. I love that Colonel Sergeant Jeremy Marshall, or whatever his name is. He's a great player, and I think Trent Barrett can really coach. But we just capitulated. And the thing that the Sharks have been able to do in the olden days of the Sharks is we can go out and beat a Melbourne in a gritty 14-12, and then a kind of really ill-performing Titans can come out and smash us the next week. And we have a beautiful skill of we'll blend our style to yours. We'll blend our level to yours. And it reminded me of that old Sharks way of, like, we can nut out a really good win against the Roosters or a Storm or a Rabbitohs, and then just completely fall apart against a bottom eight side. So it was a sad season. I emotionally wrote it off when we lost to the Bulldogs, and I thought 2022, we'll clearly win the comp, I guess.
All right, Brendan, I'm giving you a little phone link. Now, well, it's advice for the coach. Well, it's not Josh Hennay. It's to Craig Fitzgibbon. In advance of next season, key advice for Craig, what he's got to work with at Cronulla. What do you want to see? What would you tell him? Would you stir him up? Would it be Chichilian, or would it be straight to the point?
I think he knows what he's doing. I mean, the contact he's had with your Bellamy's Robinson. You know, we've got Dale Finucane coming out of Bellamy camp. You know what I mean? The hardest trainer at the Storm. That's what we lacked last year was defence, discipline, toughness. So I think Finucane coming out of the Storm is going to do all that. I think what Fitzgibbon's got to do is get us rocking and rolling. And I think that's involving our centres. I think Jesse Ramien's maybe one of the most, you know, with a little bit of space a couple of years ago, he scored this try where he just weaved through and just bashed guys, a.k.a., you know, Greg Inglis 10 years ago. And I want to see our centres and our attacking weapons get more ball, more combinations, and threats in attack, because I found it a little predictable. And, you know, as is often said, you know, with Matty Johns and you blokes on this show, there are teams that are adapting to the new game and there are teams that are playing the Melbourne Storm style 5 years ago. And I would say, you know, let's get upbeat and exciting in attack, and I think that's involving the centres. Mulatalo, we've got the best wingers going around.
Mulatalo, Mulatalo.
And then Will Kennedy, finishes. I think Will Kennedy was one of the stars of the whole league last year. So let's get some flair.
I think you're saying ramp it up. Basically, I'm paraphrasing what you're saying.
Ramp it up, Sharkies! the song is Up, Up, Cronulla, Vossi. It's not Down, Down, the Shire. It's Up, Up, Cronulla.
No.
Let's ramp it up, Craig.
That's it. Craig. Now you've got all the points.
I'm available to go in the sheds and ramp them up. If they want some Shakespeare, I can do Band of Brothers, whatever they want.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Nice. One of our listeners says, has Brendan left his porch light on? Once the premiership was won, the porch light could go off, but have you then put it back on? I don't know. The listener just wants to know.
Yeah.
Paul
Gallen told the Australia they could turn it off when he held up the trophy in 2016 and had that emotional, semi-erotic hug with Andrew Ettinghausen that I just loved. But I would say it's definitely back on. I think our premiership window was probably shut the last 2 years.
Right.
And I think the light is blaring 24/7. Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
We're
back in the game.
That's the Cronulla wrap. One last one from one of our listeners, Dan. He asked, you must get Brendan Dewey's Adam O'Brien voice. I meant to ask you for a Ponga Pierce update. Adam, are you there? Adam O'Brien.
Yeah, Vossy, hi, mate. Really good to talk to you. Kalen is going well after the operation, and Mitchell's a footy player. He's a footy player, and he's tough. And he'll be there. I just got off the phone with him and the performance team. He'll be there when it matters. They're a key combination, and that's not to say without them, I don't have a first-grade team. But with that combination, that bodes well going into September.
Thank you, Adam O'Brien, for making a cameo appearance. And Brendan, is Brendan Cowell back there? He's Brendan.
Yeah, mate.
Up the Sharks. Ramp it up for the Sharks, mate. Great review of the season, and Sharkies fans are saying they're just nodding approval. They're rubbing their chin and they're just nodding this morning. So that's a sign of endorsement that you've nailed it.
Yeah, that's right, mate. We're not Dolphins, we're Sharks, mate. And I think the fins and the teeth will be back next year. So up, up, and see you at Shark Park. Can't wait.
Well said. Thanks for coming on the show, Brendan Cowell, right here. And Finn O'Kane is the big man. He's the big signing that Brendan believes will make a difference.
You're listening to the best of Vossie.
Well, this is a huge weekend because tomorrow we have the T20, the Super 12s commencing, and you can watch every ball of the T20 World Cup live and ad break free during play, exclusive to Fox Cricket and available on KO. Australia versus South Africa first up, and we have Fox Cricket expert, very popular figure in Australian cricket. In fact, next year, it'll be 10 years since he last played for Australia. How time flies. Brett Lee, welcome to Breakfast
morning,
with Vossie.
How are you, mate? Good morning.
Not too bad. I was just going through the career stats. By next year, it will be a decade, Brett. Does it feel that?
Is that right? No, well, I'm still playing backyard cricket with my son, Preston. So, still rolling the arm over. Not in that competitive state anymore, of course. But, yeah, that's flown. That has really gone so quickly to think, international cricket being 10 years. Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
All righty. Well, can I, first of all, as a fan, a lifelong fan of cricket, how excited are you? See, we're getting back to normal. The Ashes is just around the corner. The T20 starting tomorrow. As a cricket fan, you're pumped?
I'm more than pumped. I'm so excited. You know, this is what, not only the cricketing world, but I think the Australian public are being desperate to sort of see, get out of lockdown, get back to some form of normality and to watch some amazing cricket on TV. So, you know, as you mentioned, we've got the T20 World Cup starting tomorrow. The Aussies are in action against the South Africans. We've got the Ashes, which has been confirmed. The Pom's going to come out and hopefully it'll be a 5-0 drumming. If you're asking Ben McGray, he'll definitely agree with me. But yeah, look, it's just great to think that we are back to watch the sport that we love. Had a wonderful footy season. Now it's back to cricket. It's so exciting.
All right, I'll ask you some tough questions now. Seeking direct answers, Dave Warner, does he open the batting in your side tomorrow?
100%. I mean, I could not be any clearer with my understanding with David Warner is that he's a massive match play. He loves the big stage. He loves the lights on him. He loves the, you know, the sort of World Cups. And look, to be fair, he hasn't had a good run the last couple of weeks. I think it comes down, Vossie, to a number of things. I thought he was treated very poorly from his Sunrisers Hyderabad franchise. They dropped him first, or stripped him of the captaincy, dropped him from the team. And, you know, when you've got a guy in the, you know, Indian Premier League setup where they have the orange cap, which is the most runs per season, he's won it three times. He's always there and thereabouts. Down on his confidence, he's going to bounce back. He's got a duck, he's got one. He's saving the runs for when it counts, and that's against South Africa tomorrow.
All right, fingers crossed. Okay, I ask you this directly. Is Australia a genuine chance of winning the T20 World Cup, or would even just making the semi-finals be a huge result?
Well, it would be a huge result to get the semis or to even make the finals, but I'm optimistic. I'm looking at the Australian cricket team, the talent that we have on show, the amount of talent, the sort of calibre of players that can go out there and dominate in with a bat, ball and the field. And I'm actually surprised as well that we haven't got that silverware in the cabinet. It's been one aspect of cricket, one sort of part of the game where we haven't dominated. You talk about Test cricket, we've dominated in that over the years, the Aussie cricket team, the one-day format, the boys won World Cups. But you think about this format of the game, we've struggled. So I really hope we can turn around. The answer shortly is yes. Well, yeah, they can definitely go out and win this tournament. But when you've got teams like New Zealand, probably England, and I think India to me are the ones who are probably the favourites.
Yeah, well, you have a great affinity, always have, with India. I mean, they do look very strong. The final warm-up game was just a little reminder as well. They seem to tick every box, with form as well, with a quantity of players that have been playing the IPL as their warm-up.
Well, when you say they tick every box, you know, they do. And what also they enjoy are the slower, lower conditions. And when you think about where it's being held, the UAE, you know, there's a lot of games on slow, low wickets. It's not conducive to fast bowling. It's going to take a lot of turn. There's some games in Dubai. There's games in Abu Dhabi. So they have played a lot of cricket there recently. They've just come from the IPL where they've had success. You know, you think about someone like a KL Rahul. I'm actually going to put him down from India. KL Rahul, who was the orange cap, the most runs in the recent IPL. To me, he will be the standout. He will be the one that could take India to the finals, and whoever knows, it could be an India versus Australia final, hopefully.
All right, good shout there. Now, this is a question without notice. So I'm intrigued, and we'll be able to see this all through the Fox coverage, but Sri Lanka have this ambidextrous bowler, Kamindu Mendes. How did you go with the opposite arm? Or the number of cricketers that you've watched that may have not done it at the elite level but thought they could, did everyone have a crack at their other arm?
I'll go the first part of your question, and you know you're right. It is exclusive to Fox Cricket, and obviously, Case, it's the only place where you can watch it. If you ask one of my co-commentators, Andrew Simons, he would not go as ambidextrous. He used to call people that could throw with both arms amphibious. So I might have to go and ask him that question. Look, okay. I think in all seriousness, I've actually played against a guy that he came in and bowled seam up. You know, it's only about 130 k's, but he bowled right arm over and then said he's going to bowl left arm off spin. And we were like, wow. So, you know, you think about guys, you think about David Warner that can generally bat both hands. You think about Mike Hussey, who's obviously with Fox Cricket as well, started off as a right-handed batsman. And because of the shape of the backyard and because his brother was right-handed, he went to left-handed to emulate, you know, another Fox Cricket commentator, the great Alan Border. So there are a lot of guys that are ambidextrous, but yeah, I mean, playing at that international level, doing both, it's pretty incredible.
All right, just while I've got you, one last comment too on the Ashes around the corner. Now, you've had a bit of fun there. You clean sweep. A bowler's assessment of the bowling attack, Brett. Are they coming out with a right attack? Is it a threat to whatever Australian batting order we put together?
In terms of the English attack?
The English attack, yeah. Do you see them doing a job here?
Absolutely. You know, when you think about who's on offer, Mark Wood bowled some decent pace last night. He's in the squad. But you go to who's dominated with the ball. Jimmy Anderson, 630-odd test wickets. He could go down, Vossie, as the greatest fast bowler to ever play the game. And you probably wouldn't have thought that when you first saw Jimmy Anderson burst on the scene. Wonderful guy, great competitor. His partner in crime, you look down there and you see Stuart Broad. I mean, over 500 test wickets. They have a phenomenal partnership. They will give some hurry up to the Aussie cricketers. And I'm just, the concern I have is that we have to lock away what is our best five, our top five batting order. Let's get that locked away. Let's give the guys, and from a selection point of view, I'd love to see whoever they pick in the first test, whoever it is, back them for three tests. Give them six opportunities.
Yeah.
Of course, the Poms are going to come really, really hard at this top line for the Australian cricket team.
All right, great shout there, Brett. It's all about to start. So much to look forward to, and we tuned into Fox beginning tomorrow, Australia versus South Africa. I know you'll have fun, so we'll be tuned in. Look good, sound good. We're going to love it.
Go on, you Vossie. Always good to chat, mate.
You're listening to the best of Vossie.
Well, on Breakfast with Vossie 1170 SEN, we're continuing the post-mortems of NRL club seasons with celebrity supporters. We've had James Magnusson representing the Bulldogs. We've had Brendan Cowell representing the Sharks. Now to a, and I say it with respect, a mad rooster, the one and only Tim Webster on the line. Welcome to the Breakfast Show, Tim.
Hello, Vossie. How are you, son?
Well, I need to check in on your health because there were that many Roosters players that went down injured this year. But you okay? Are you fit? Because it just seemed like they were falling left, right and centre.
Mate, there was a suggestion the old Bondi United fullback might make a comeback. But no, but a horrible thought. Yeah, mate, it was a terrible season in that regard. But I have to say, mate, I was very proud of them. I really was.
Yeah, no, I think that respect went across the board from fans. When we were talking about nominations for Coach of the Year, Trent Robinson was right up there because of, you know, coaching over adversity. In all your time, and it is many years following, can you remember a Roosters team so ravaged by injury?
Oh, no. No, no, no. And I've been, look, the first year I remember going was 1960. And my mum reckons I was probably going before that, but you know, that was games at the old sports ground. And speaking of that, we made the grand final that year, 1960, and got flogged by St George. And I was just thinking about the great Norm Provan and what a towering figure on the field he was. You couldn't miss him. And that was, you know, unlimited tackles. And if you had the ball, it was relentless. And God, he was such a great big man. I remember him taking it up and taking it up and taking it up. So, yeah, that's how long I've been following the Roosters, even longer.
Wow. We confirmed with David Middleton last Friday when we were paying tribute to Norm. You do know that the Roosters rejected Norm Provan on trial, rejected him when he was looking for a start, and he ended up at the St George Dragons. Talk about the one that got away.
My Roosters made some pretty dopey decisions on recruiting over the years, I tell you. Most sides did, though.
Yeah, just tell me, your love of the Roosters, was that because of family? Did you pick up the team off your own bat? What was the history to becoming a lifelong Roosters fan? Back in those days, the Eastern Suburbs Roosters.
Oh, mate, I grew up in Bondi, North Bondi. We lived in North Bondi, went to school at Rose Bay Public. I played for Bondi United for a number of years, late 60s to the early 70s, and as I say, one of the great days of the week for me was going with my old man and my Uncle Frank to the old sports ground to watch them play. And I'd go down and watch them come out of the race and kick a footy up behind the goalposts and watch into the sun. Watch all three grades in those days. And, you know, I couldn't have been anything else but an East supporter and will be until I pass on, Bossy.
My memory of the sports ground, it was a hard fence to jump. So if you're going to race for the corner post, that was one ground that became very hard because it was that sort of bowl that came down. That's a hazy memory of going along to the sports ground because I was a kid who used to try and run on and steal a corner post. I don't know whether you had any luck in your time.
Yeah, no, I did. You're right, though. It wasn't easy. But the thing about the sports ground was the sun in your eyes, but you put a program up and, you know, shielded your eyes from the sun. But I always sat behind those goalposts when I was not with my dad. So when I stopped going with my dad, I'd sit behind the post up, usually sometimes after I'd played for United. Yeah. But when I was with my old man, we used to sit in the stand. So he and Michael Frank would go and get lots of middies.
Did the little boy who played for Bondi United have dreams of playing first grade?
Yeah, I did. I actually got approached to join, I think, was it the SG Ball? No, it might have been the Jersey Flegg side, which would have been 1969 or 70, but I was too old. In those days, it was a pretty strict age criteria. So I was too old. And then I got into Radio Vossie and I played a bit in Bathurst and ruined my knee in Muswellbrook, and that was the end of that. But yes, I certainly did. My word. My hero was Russell Fairfax.
Yeah. Yeah, the long hair. He couldn't get into the club because his hair was too long, but what a player.
Mid-70s.
Yeah, the two of them. Now, on this season, do you have a personal highlight of the year, or is it actually that whole picture of the braveness of the side? Do you have a highlight for the Roosters for 2021?
Mate, an absolute highlight. Look, lots of them, but you're right. I mean, winning and winning and winning when everyone expected them not to. And just watching players, I mean, Sam Walker's an obvious one, but Drew Hutchison was terrific. I think Big Jared stepped up into a leadership role very much so. And they all just lifted. And I was, as I say, so proud of them and stunned in a way when you consider the injury talk. God, the Morris brothers and Jake and Boyd Cordner and Luke Keary. God, it was just a conga line of injuries.
Yes.
And
it wasn't just injuries, was it, Tim? It was retirements. I mean, you don't have...
It hasn't happened before.
Retirements mid-season. Boyd Cordner, Jake Friend, then Brett Morris. I mean, that's unheard of.
It is. And suspensions. You know, Victor, I love the way Victor plays, but he spent too much time off the paddock as well. So it was an extraordinary season, Vossie, in many ways for my beloved Chooks.
Do you have a worst moment then? Again, am I jumping the gun here saying it is the injuries, it's not a single moment, or was there a real disappointment for you from the season? A moment that I wish we had that one again.
Oh, yeah. I think getting beaten 42-6 by Manly in the final. They didn't deserve that, you know, the way they played. But I think the season sort of collapsed in on them by then, and Manly were just too good, and they didn't deserve to be beaten by that score. And I have to say, and I think you've probably got a different opinion to me, I think I heard you or read what you said, Latrell cleaning up Joey Manu, I think there was intent there, and I was more upset for Joey by his reaction to it and the look on his face is to say, mate, you know, what are you doing? So those two, probably the lowlights of the year, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair call. Now, Tim, I'm hypothetically... I've got a line here right now to Trent Robinson, and you can address Trent on the quiet and give him some advice. Is there any advice you'd pass on to Trent in light of this season and going into next season?
Yeah, look, I think the thing the Roosters have got to get their heads around, and Trent knows this and he's discussed it at, you know, many of the functions I've been at. I mean, they're ill-disciplined a lot of the time. They give away too many penalties. They drop a lot of ball. And the games they lost during the season, the result of that often, you know, penalties in the wrong place, losing the ball in the wrong place. So if I could dare to give advice to the great Robbo, it'd be, you know, just drill into them a bit more ball security. And the younger players were guilty of that more often than not, and it got us into trouble often. But, you know, having said all that, by and large, it's a pretty bloody successful year for them, considering, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. To everything comes with a little asterisk. Any sort of criticism is to do with the pressure that the team was under. So with the old guard, you know, so I haven't added up how many games experience won't be there at the start of next year as compared to this year, but Cordner, Friend, Morris Brothers and the like. Yeah. What excites you most then about next season? Is it the prospect of seeing the development of Sam Walker with a fully fit Luke Keary? I mean, that 7-6 looks pretty damn good to my way of thinking.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I think Sam Walker, you know, remember he made a huge impact initially, and then, well, he didn't go into his shell, but then it was sort of like Robbo put him on the bench and brought him on late in the game, and I think that was a good idea because he had that dicky shoulder. I'm very much looking forward to that, mate, yeah. Because he really is a hell of a talent. He's one of those players, isn't he, who's just instinctive. And when they've got that, they're unpredictable. And other sides can't really, they don't know what they're going to do, whether it's pass the ball, kick the ball, run it. With Keary outside him, and you know what it's like these days, they switch around and play left side, right side. And Yeah, and I'm looking forward to... Look, you know, again, I was so proud. I actually sent an email to Nick Politis to say, and he knows how long I've loved the Roosters, to say how proud of them I was. And, you know, the low light of the year, you know, you talk about low lights, was not being able to go watch them play. And it's something I've done, you know, all my life since 1960. So, yeah, I'm very excited about the coming year. I think they'll be up there. They'll be in the eight, certainly. But, you know, when all these players swap around and we get the off-season out of the way, we've got another year to go. But if we can all go to the footy, Vossi, that's going to be the big plus.
That's a good note to finish on, Tim. You are Roosters through and through. If they cut you open, there's obviously a lot of red, but there's some blue and white in there as well. Tim, great to have you on the program. Loved by sports audiences, back to the Sports Tonight days. And as I say, an absolute genuine rugby league and Roosters supporter. And great to hear your thoughts this morning.
Thanks, Vossi. Good on you, mate.
You're listening to the best of Vossi.
How can I introduce our next guest? Well, this little clip comes to mind.
Darren Lockout, he kicks. Slater's picked it up. Aussie onside. Slater down the ground. He kicks again. He'll get there. He's over. Billy Slater. He has scored one of the great Origin tries. He will have a look at it. I thought he might have been in front of the kicker. If he wasn't, this has been a great, great Origin try.
Ah, tell me your hairs don't stand up on the back of your neck still all these years on. But the guest, Billy Slater, is on the program with another one of his loves, and that is horse racing. And you all know the backstory about Billy, you know, the trackwork jockey who went on to become rugby league megastar. And right now, he's involved with the racing league up to his eyeballs. We've been telling you all about the racing league. How good? $200, $20 a month, and you're racing with the big boys. You can be racing this summer. You can have a race, you can have a galloper running on Melbourne Cup Day. Not in the cup necessarily, but on Cup Day. The Racing League and the state teams. You can head to iCanWin.com.au. Win big with the Racing League. Own your share of 18 racehorses across three TRL state teams. Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria. Mr. Queensland himself. First time we've had him on since he was appointed as Queensland Origin coach. Billy Slater, welcome to the program and congratulations first and foremost on that appointment.
Yeah, thanks, Vossi, and thanks for having me. Don't rule out the Melbourne Cup, maybe not this year, but I tell you what, the Racing League, they've bought some quality yearlings this year, and they've just turned two, and they're at some good stables, so anything's possible, and now that the footy season's over, we've got the racing, the spring carnival upon us.
Well, this is right up your alley, because, and as I said in the intro, people know your backstory. Is racing in your blood, Billy?
Yeah, it is. I think my number one passion is the horse itself. I love working with all sorts of horses. I think they're an amazing animal. And to have a thrill of racing a horse is, I don't know, it's something else. My family have always enjoyed going to the races. My father put together a syndicate just with about 20 of his friends when I was growing up. And I think doing it that way and what the Racing League are all about is making it affordable, that thrill of owning a racehorse, going to the races, enjoying it run, or whether you're watching it on television, to own a percentage of a racehorse is it's just a great thrill. And, yeah, the Racing League are doing a fantastic job to make it affordable for everyone.
Yeah, I agree with you, Billy. I mean, I've been lucky enough. I had a share in a horse called Arise Augustus, and I still say the day that it won at Randwick, like Royal Randwick, coming down the outside of the main straight and you know, booting home. It's just fantastic.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, but with this, what people need to understand with the Racing League, I mean, you are actually racing with the big boys. I mean, you're going with all the leading trainers. You know, you're racing on the biggest days. This is not just part of a syndicate where you may have a horse race around the provincials and maybe get a city start. This is basically starting at the deep end, correct?
Yeah, and bought some of the best yearlings, like I said, at the Magic Million sale earlier this year. And, you know, stallions like Fastnet Rock and Dissident, and, you know, the big-time stallions. So they're buying quality yearlings, but they're also buying horses that are running now. I know the Queensland Rogues have purchased a big goodbye who's run 3 seconds. He's got his foot on the till for us in Brisbane. And the newest purchase is Hot Spring Gold. And it's a Sydney galloper, won at Randwick 3 starts ago, and it's ready to win again. So horses like that just give you immediate interest. And then you've got these young up-and-coming two-year-olds that are just so exciting that anything is possible. Like you look at the likes of Incentivize and some of the stories that go around racing. It's a great story, and you can do it with your friends and your family, and yeah, what a great interest.
Yeah, by the way, Incentivize, I did that in my verdict the other day. Won a first prize of $12,000 in April when it won its first race. It's maiden.
It was a maiden in April.
Now it's won $4.5 million. Wow, what a story. And by the way, just to reinforce what you said there, I know the Victorian team in the racing league, the Vic Hustlers, they have a galloper team captain. Now, team captain is likely to be racing on Melbourne Cup Day. So, you know, you will have... an entrant, you participate, you're racing on the biggest days. We all get caught up with it in spring, but this is the real deal. Yeah. And it's $200. That's it. There's no thing hidden down in the fine print. $200 gets you in.
Yeah, a couple hundred bucks and $20 a month. And you can have an interest in six race horses, be a part of a team, and just enjoy all the perks that come with racing. Like I love getting the emails and the updates of all my horses. I breed a couple myself on our farm, and that's so interesting for us, my wife, my family. We love getting out and feeding the foals in the morning and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, racing is right through my family, and it's who we are. And, yeah, it's really enjoyable.
Well, yeah, great. Oh, you certainly got my endorsement. I just think the whole the way it's been set up, it is outstanding, absolutely outstanding. Can't speak higher of it. Billy, can I just quickly ask you in relation to the Queensland Origin job, have you already started work? Have you already started notes from the moment that they said, that's it, you're locked in? Have you been, is it sort of in your thoughts every day?
I started work for Queensland when I was a little kid sitting in front of the television, Vossie, and just glued to the screen. So that's when my work for Queensland started. But, yeah, in relation to your question, yeah, I have. I've obviously, you know, the first step is to put the people around this group of players to give them the best opportunity to play well. And now I think that's probably my most important appointment is making sure that the staff are the right people. We've got some great Queenslanders to pick from, and I've already, you know, started making a few phone calls. So, yeah, hopefully by May next year, we'll have assembled a really good support staff, and our players are playing really well, and, you know, we can make a really good account of ourselves next year.
Yeah, and you'll carry on the tradition. Some player will get ill the week of the game. You'll have six players in quarantine, in doubt for the match. You're under the radar. You're despised outsiders. Yeah, I've heard it all before, Billy. No, great to have you on the show. A proud Queenslander, 31 origins, 323 NRL games, an absolute champion, and rubber stamping the Racing League right now. Good luck with the Queensland Rogues. I hope you finish second or third. But to everyone who gets involved, you are going to enjoy it. You're part of the big show. Thanks for coming on, Billy.
Yeah, thanks, Vossie. Cheers, mate.
Ah, yes, NRL legend Billy Slater, who is also very passionate about his horses. And that's all in this special Saturday edition of Breakfast with Vossie. Don't forget to tune into the show on Monday from 6 a.m. on 1170 SEN or via the SEN app.